today. Frank Sullivan of the great band Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen will be on. Talk about the last album, what he's been doing, where he's going, all kinds of good stuff. I'm looking forward to talking to Frank. I love that album, On the Edge. Man, oh man, that absolutely cooks. It's right down my wheelhouse. I'll tell you that right now. It's right in what I'm looking for as far as great playing and just kind of a neat vision about where the music wants to go. When I come back on live, I should have Frank Sullivan with me, and we'll chat about some stuff. All right. Think if I've done this correctly. Frank Sullivan's on the line.
I think so.
Yeah.
Am I on the line, Steve? I think I am.
You are on the line in more ways than you know, pal, by getting tangled up and calling into this show. I appreciate you. What happened right before? Well, I was going to get you at 2:15, and I got your number somewhere in my phone, and my phone decided that Saturday, the 24th, was not the day that it was going to search anymore. So I had to, so I sent you a message and found you, and appreciate you making the hookup on your end. Sorry about that.
No problem, man. No problem. My pleasure.
All right.
Glad it finally worked out for us to chat, man.
Well, yeah, we tried last year or sometime, and we just kind of couldn't get things to work out, and this is great. I'm happy because now I know that I can see you play again up at Gray Fox, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and I can just talk to you about this great, I love this On the Edge album, and it is just one of the, man, I love it. I play cuts from it probably every week, and I'm not lying about that. I just love, there's so many different parts of it that I love to come back to. So the band is Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, Dirty Kitchen. As I put in my little promo for it, you know, come on into Frank's kitchen. I'm doing a little Robert Johnson thing there. But actually, you're a chef.
Well, that's arguable, I suppose. I love to cook, and I've worked in some kitchens before, and I've worked in some kitchens. I'm sorry. My wife just came in the room and said, you need to turn your voice up.
Okay.
I can barely hear you on the radio. I said, oh, okay. All right. Well, here I go.
All right.
I've worked in a long time ago in a couple of kitchens and catering service, but never was like formally trained as a chef or went to school to be a chef or anything. I think the moniker chef is maybe a little too formal for me, but I'm kind of self-taught. My mother was in the restaurant industry for a long time, knowing me growing up and showed me a lot how to cook. She would like sit me up on the counter at times. When I was a kid, you know, and let me bang on pots and then stir stuff and then finally cutting things up and actually making stuff, you know, the older I got. And she's an incredible cook and baker. And anyway.
Well, I know, and you know, chef, I know chef has some mystical term, and, you know, it can only, and it's almost like in a karate class, you know, the people who are not the chef bow down. So I say chef in my terms, and that you can cook stuff and probably a whole lot better than me heating up water or something in a pan.
Yeah, I had to learn how to do that right one time.
You also, you're, and we're going to talk about the music, but you also, you build mandolins, as I understand.
Well, I've been doing some, like, you know, my own solo repairs and setup work and refretting for some time now, but, 2012, a buddy of mine, Roger Simonoff, invited me to come out to his place, and he, have shown interest in mandolins and mandolin building for a long time. And he said, well, come on out. I'll show you how to build a mandolin. And he does these quote-unquote camps where you go into his workshop and he has a hands of people and he shows, has this curriculum and shows everybody how to build a mandolin from pieces of wood until, you know, you have the instrument in the white. And so I went and did that. And it took me a whole another year or so to finish it up, but I guess it's beginner's luck because the thing sounds great. I mean, you know, there's a couple little rough spots here and there. You know, I'm not a, I need to build about maybe 10 or 12 more until I can feel comfortable with a few more of the, you know, aspects of how to build it, you know, with the looks. But, I got two out of the three main parts, which is I got the sound and I got the playability and the looks. I mean, it looks good, but it doesn't. It's not like, you know, I use the CNC machine, you know, I use the pocket knife and sandpaper, so,
mm-hmm.
I I mean, it looks okay, but it really sounds great and plays really nicely. And like I say, it's beginner's luck for sure, because I've been just playing it ever since I put it, you know, put the finish on it last September.
That must have been what I knew you were posting some pictures about it, and that, well, you know what, Frank, if it sounds good, man, you're there. I mean, nobody, unless you just want to sit and look at it, but from the stage down, they just want it to sound great, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just the only one I've made, and with my tour schedule and everything, like I said, it took over a year to make, but or to slapping another one together, if you will. Probably in the next year or so, I'd like to get one started and see if I can, you know, see if I can get it done. But it's really good for my brain. I got a lot of stuff going on. You know, we lead a pretty busy life, touring and managing a band and all of those things, you know, small business, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, my wife would come out of the bedroom, like, the middle of the night, and, you know, I'd be in my little music room, you know, scraping and binding and whatever, inlaying, or just working on a mandolin, you know, from, like, midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning, with maybe a little glass of whiskey and, you know, just hanging out.
Well, that thins down the finish.
Say one more time?
The whiskey thins down the finish. That's not anything drinking. That's for the finish.
Exactly. That's
the
spirit varnish, if you will.
That's exactly right. Oh, man. Well, and Roger Siminoff, he's the guy that I remember the book about building banjos, and he writes columns about. So that's the guy you're talking about, right?
Yeah, he's written some benchmark books on how to build mandolins, too, you know, and just a really super, super nice guy, super sweet guy, and I've known for a long time. And the last few years, we've really just kind of, you know, realized, okay, kindred spirits, and we keep in touch, and you know, whenever I'm out on the West Coast, go and spend a night or two at his place, you know, when we're passing through, and just a really great guy. He and his wife Rosemary and Callie and you know, their Rosemary's daughters who help them run their business and whatnot.
That's cool. All right, so the Dirty Kitchen Band, let's talk a little bit about that, because it's been around, what, a couple, how many years now?
Let's see. Well, I got out of the Navy band in 2009, and right before I got out, I kind of started getting this band together, and the whole idea, you know, for this band kind of together about a year before I got out. So so really officially since 2009, I suppose, and had half the band has changed. You know, we have a different bass player and guitar player now than when we started.
Right.
And, man, it's just like this continually evolving thing, you know, musically, you know, profile-wise, our profile, a lot of people are starting to really, you know, enjoy what we do with, you know, folks like you that, you know, play our tunes on the radio show. People are getting more familiarized with our sound, and you know, I'm super thankful for that. That way, it's kind of like, you know, we all are working together, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, we're providing music, quality music for DJs to play. DJs are spinning it. Folks are listening to it, enjoying it. And then, you know, we get to go out and play live shows because people have heard us on the radio, too. So,
well, I'll tell you this, Frank, in all honesty, if I don't like something, or if I'm not intrigued by something, I don't play it. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you know, a lot of things come to you when you've done this for even the short while that I have, and it's working well on this end. But if I'm not really intrigued and like, wow, and I heard the On the Edge album, it's like, holy moly. So I just had to start playing it. So if it's not something that people are appealed, you know, are interested in, it's not going to get on. So it's your end. You're making all this work, and I tell you what, the tune that I probably play more than any other, I love The Letter. It just blows me away. I opened up the show today with that, and I still, that to me is just it absolutely cooks, and the musicianship and the singing is, and yet it's bluegrass, but it's got that edge to it, and I don't know if I think you were saying On the Edge for the album to kind of let people know maybe where you were going since you left the Navy band, but the approach and the songs that you pick and the way that you do it is just, it's just right what I personally really, really like to hear.
Oh, that was great to hear. Right on. Yeah, I mean, the album title, On the Edge, has a couple of different meanings, you know. Of course, musically, perhaps, it's not as traditional as, you know, other folks or whatever. It's kind of hangs out there in the netherworld of, you know, between grass and Americana and, you know, maybe some country thrown in and some blues and whatnot. But, you know, I don't want to be formulaic in any kind of music I play. I just want to play good music that speaks to me, you know, or might be really fun to play or perform or whatever. So we just cut another record in February and just got it mixed and mastered here.
Oh, good. Talk about that.
All the artwork's done, and it's kind of even the next, you know, each record is kind of a slice of time musically for where I'm at or we are in the band, you know. And, you know, this next one is no different in that, you know, it's like the next phase kind of vibe, you know. And still to kick off with like a smoking bluegrass number, it's going to, you just have to listen to it. I'm going to leave some surprises.
Yeah, sure.
But,
yeah,
you know, all in all, I think, you know, it'll speak to a lot of different kinds of people, and, you know, there's a lot of different subject matters in music that we play. You know, you notice on The Edge, our last record, you know, there's songs about, it's not just like, oh, you broke my heart and left me kind of stuff, you know, it's different takes. I like to, you know, like, I Fell Short, a buddy of mine wrote that, you know, I Fell Short on Standing Tall, kind of a little humorous kind of lyric, you know, hook line or whatever, and the letter, you know, nobody writes letters anymore, no emails. But it's, you know, that song, I've always loved that song, and we, you know, I thought it would make a great bluegrass tune.
It does. I mean, you kick up the tempo for the bluegrass thing, but man, it fits so well. I mean, it just cooks along. I mean, the original song, which most people probably recognize, you know, wasn't that quick of a tempo, but then you really put that high octane into it, and it's a great bluegrass. And when I talk about, you know, the on the edge sound of your music, I don't mean at all to say that you don't fit solidly within anybody's definition of bluegrass, but I do think you have to recognize that you're doing things a little different to fit what you want to do. You're not trying to change the musical landscape. You're just doing what you want to do, and it comes out just that really nice crystal, you know, sharp edge of the music that's being played right now.
Well, thanks for saying so. And, you know, we work hard at trying to come up with, you know, cool arrangements and, you know, catchy intros and hook licks and all of those things, you know, so whenever you hear, like, the intro of a song, people go, oh, this is going to be that song. You know,
yeah.
You hear that mandolin riff at the intro of the letter, you know, people go, oh, that's the letter, you know. And when we go play a show, you, like, kick off a song like that, you know, people recognize it right away, and you haven't even sang the song, you know. I kind of like that.
Oh, man, that's perfect. Then you're touching a lot of people, because, you know, those first few notes, if they're with you already, then they've heard it, and they've already, you know, kind of put it in part of their being, and they're ready to be entertained by... I can only imagine from hearing your music that your stage show must be very, I don't want to overuse the term energetic, but I got a feeling there's a lot of you know, kind of power coming down from the stage from your band.
Definitely high energy. And I think, you know, working with an audience, though, is really key. I was watching something the other night about, you know, comedians. I think it was Dick Van Dyke or something. I was watching television, and he was saying he can't work without an audience. And so that's like the difference between a studio. You have to, like, muster it up in the studio somehow, you know, and really keep that energy high. But, you know, at a live show, when you have the audience working with you and giving you that feedback and having that timing, you know, it's another story altogether.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of cyclical, you know, where they feed the band, you know, the energy from the band feeds the audience. And it's almost kind of like, I've said this before, mass psychosis in a way. You know, everybody's working together to have a really good time. And
that's
when the audience is just kind of laying there or whatever, you know, I've played some shows where, you know, it's been really hot, and, you know, people in the audience are sitting there kind of sweating and melting down into their, you know, chair or whatever, or not dancing or whatever, and it seems really difficult to kind of muster that energy, you know.
Well, I mean, it only makes sense that you feed off of their energy,
oh,
and they feed off of yours.
We can
rehearse
anyway, though, you know.
Yeah.
We can rehearse anyway.
Hey, listen, who's on the new album with you then? I know you had a lot of guests on the last one, and one of the other tunes that I sneak in every once in a while is that M80 thing with Rob. Who's on the new album coming out? Without giving away any secrets, can you tell us who's going to be on?
Oh, no secrets, man. So Rob came in and played on some tunes as well, and... my cousin Megan McCormick wrote two songs on there, and she came in and sang on one of them with me. And then another duet was with John Cowan. He came in and sang on one with me. And Sam Bush came in and sang and played mandolin on one where I played the guitar. And Chris, our guitar player, played octave mandolin. And that turned out really nice. It's kind of like a... And Rob is on the Weisenborn guitar on that one. So there's, you know, an interesting sound on that.
I wish people would play more of those. I know they're hard to hear. I mean, of course, not in the hands of Rob, who just rips the strings off. But, I mean, the Weisenborn is such a cool sound because it's that wood thing. And just, and you look at it and you think, how do you get the sound out of them? But I love hearing that. That's going to be a great sound if you've got that on there.
Yeah, it's nice and soft, and it's kind of, you know, more of a ballad kind of number, but, man, I think, you know, there's something for everybody on this record. There's some bluegrass, there's some more pop kind of arranged, oriented tunes, and there's, I think I mentioned blues, maybe, mm-hmm. and some bluegrass, and, you know, a couple ballads, and, you know, I just wanted to mix it up. You know, like I said, I don't want to be formulaic or anything. You know, there's a great banjo tune in there, but, you know, usually you hear banjo tunes and you think, you know, the banjo's tuned in open G, you know, with a, and for some reason, you know, they lean towards, you know, banjo players lean towards writing songs in an open tuning. But Mike Munford, Banjo Player of the Year, International Music Association,
Phenomenal.
Banjo Player of the Year, who played banjo in the band, is incredible, and he wrote this tune in E major, and so it's a banjo tune in E major with no capo on, just playing, you know, totally open with a diatonic instrument that's tuned in G. And I play the banjo.
Let me just tell you this right off the bat: that's totally unfair for Mike to do something like that.
Yeah. What did I do to you?
That's totally unfair for Mike to do that. Not for you, but for Mike to write a tune in E major and play it in open tuning is I'm not going to even try to learn it. When it comes out, I'm going to enjoy it, but I'm not going to sit down and try to learn it because I couldn't.
Yeah, it lays out pretty nice with a mandolin too, you know, and it's a fun piece. It's called Yeah Man. We've been playing it at our live shows.
Oh, cool.
Recently, and Yeah Man.
Yeah. It sounds great. Well, this is good. Oh, man, I can't wait to... When do you think this thing might be available, this new recording?
Well, as far as I know at the moment, I talked with Gary West the other day, and we are leaning towards mid-August for a release. So
okay.
Keep your eyes open for that, and we'll make sure you get a copy so you can pre-screen it, and if you like something, you can play it, and if not, well, it'll make a great poster.
Let's talk a little bit about, okay, that's great. I'm very excited that you have this new thing coming out. You'll be playing then, by the time I see you, and when I want to talk about Gray Fox a little bit coming up in the July, you'll probably be performing pretty much stuff from that new CD, I would guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've already started working in most of the tunes in our live performance. You know, of course, mixing in older ones and whatnot, too, yeah. You know. But you know, it's a process, so, you know, you rehearse and you get these arrangements together before you get in the studio, and you play them in the studio, and sometimes they're not totally learned, you know, you have a chance in the studio to kind of, you know, repeat it and make sure it's right before it goes to tape and all of that, and then you go after the studio, you have a little time off, and then you go, okay, what was that arrangement again? And, man, I don't even have a copy of that to listen to, so I got to relearn the song.
Oh,
you know,
good. Then, oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, if you're not.
We go and relearn the song together, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you go and play it live, you're like, all right, let's try it.
Let's hope nobody's heard the early cuts.
Yeah, sometimes it works out, and, you know, that's really the true test, you know, because the last record, On the Edge, we had some opportunity to play a lot of those tunes live in front of people before we even recorded them, and this one, we didn't do that with any of the songs, so all the songs are going to be really new and fresh for, you know, for radio and our live shows and whatnot, so, you know, we're still learning a couple few of the numbers, and, you know, I'm not quite comfortable with it. They haven't been integrated fully into our psyche.
Yeah.
So we're trying to trying to get him out there, though, and by the time Gray Fox comes along, which is going to be great, we'll have them all lined up. And speaking of Gray Fox, you know, my wife is going to have a booth there. She's a jewelry artist.
Okay, good. So tell us who.
She's going to have a booth. Yeah, her name is Leah Sturgis. You can check her out, Leah Sturgis Jewelry Art.
Okay.
LeahSturgis.com is her website, but she's going to have like a little side area in her booth. A couple years ago, we did this as well, where, you know, we went in and just had like jam sessions. There'll be like a couch and some chairs or something. Well, at least that's what it was the last time. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be formatted, but we're going to go in there and have some big times and try to, you know, instigate some organic jamming.
Oh, cool! Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be back there again this year, broadcasting Friday and Saturday is what I try to do on this show. I just kind of, you know, we start streaming, and then hopefully I'll be able to catch some people. Last year was the first year. I think we got all the kinks out of it this year, so I'll be wandering around quite a bit, and I'll be looking for that. Now, you've been to Gray Fox before?
Yeah, a number of times. Uh huh. Yep. We played there a couple of years ago with our band, and then. Even before that, I played before the change of site, you know, before they changed mm-hmm. the location.
Right.
I played with the Navy band.
With the Navy band, yeah.
A number of years ago. And, man, such a great festival all the way around.
There's
really fortunate that they asked us back. We're playing Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, there's a certain vibe up there. And I can't quite put my hand on it, but it's not just that. Hey, Woodstock was down the road. I don't mean that, but there's a certain vibe up there with the audience and the people who run it. I kind of feel like it comes from top down, and I'm going to talk to Mary Daub about that in a couple of weeks on this show. But there's just a very comfortable, welcoming feeling when you get there, and I got to think it'd be very attractive for a band, and like for you to take your band up there, and just that feeling of the audience and everything that goes on up there. I think it's just such a neat place.
Yeah, I agree. Very open armed, family oriented. You know, they have a kids academy where they, you know, teach kids how to play, you know, or get better on their instruments. And then they, you know, it's just really like family oriented, open armed, and Mary Daub is that way for sure. All the way down, you know, throughout their staff, everybody
right.
is really helpful and kind, and you know, they treat everybody great, and you know. Give everybody the benefit of the doubt, I guess, right off the bat.
I think that was it. And last year, my first time there ever, and it was like, I don't even know where to set up and how to do it. And the whole staff was like, whatever you need, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to do it. Their engineers from the big sound stage were, and it was just like off from the top down. It's that feeling of let's make everything work for the betterment of the artists, guys like you and the audience, and make this. It just was, and I'm not saying it's better or worse than any other experience. I just think there's an interesting vibe up there is the only way I can describe it, really, what happens.
Yeah, I don't think it gets better, maybe just different.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, listen, Kim, we take a few, since it's Memorial Day weekend, I know you were in the Navy band for, you said 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years, 1 month, and 24 hours, to be exact.
It's unbelievable that you would know that.
Yeah, I was counting.
You were counting, I could tell. I saw you with the Navy band, probably at IBMA at a showcase or something, and it was man, that was fun. That was a good band. You must have had a blast in that setting.
Yeah, it was a good band, for sure. You know, I auditioned on the electric guitar, and that's what my designation was in the Navy, was electric guitar in their country band, and played, you know, Telecaster. But I was also one last person to leave behind when they went and did the bluegrass thing because I played mandolin and fiddle. So on their bluegrass offshoot of the main band that I was in, I would go and play, you know, half a dozen to a dozen of bluegrass shows with them every year as well. So, you know, it was a good job, good musicians. Everybody, you know, played music well. And it, for me, you know, it got to the point where I was, you know, playing music and not making music, and
right.
I felt it was necessary for me to go and do my own thing and you know, make my own music and be my own boss for a while, you know. So that's what what led me out of there, I guess.
Well, I kind of guessed at that, Frank. I remember when you came out and you were starting to, and people on Facebook and other places where musicians hang out, they were like, man, I was playing with Frank Sullivan. And I thought it must have just happened then. You were kind of traveling around, showing up at different places, and probably before you even had Dirty Kitchen and totally intact. And there were people like, man, I was playing with Frank, and you know, great players as you are. And I thought, okay, he's stretching out. This was my feeling from the people I knew you were sitting in with, and the reaction is that nothing negative with your experience in the Navy, it's just that it was time for you to branch out, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, and work with people that I could choose to work with, you know. That was part of it as well.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in the band with people that, for lack of a better word, stuck with, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted some change, some variety, and mostly just to, you know, go experience, have a different experience altogether, you know, and it was a good experience there, and if I were to do it all over again, I'd probably do it again, you know, it set me up for life pretty well, and as far as, you know, not being a poor, frustrated, you know, bluegrass and country musician like I was before. You know, doing all kinds of different side jobs and all of these things, you know, to supplement my income.
Right.
Anything from school bus driver and substitute school teacher to teaching private lessons, driving delivery truck, working with explosives, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, construction. Doing all those things just so I can play music. All I was doing was playing music for a living, which was great, you know. And of course, you're in the military, too. There's some top and circumstance kind of stuff you have to do as well, but
make no mistake about it, hopefully this would never become needed, but you are a member of the military. As I understand, the unit is attached to the Office of the President, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a presidential support unit. So they do a big background check on you and everything, and you know, it was, like I said, it was an honorable job, and so proud to, you know, be part of, you know, the military in that fashion and be able to serve that way. And I respect anybody and everybody who was in or is in the military. You know, Memorial Day.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I mean that. I don't want to, when we talk about the band, just for the people to know, you are a member of the military. You are assigned to that.
I was a member of the military.
I'm sorry. When we're talking about the Navy, the Navy man. You know, that is your assigned military duties and obligations. And yes, you have that extra duty of playing in the band, but, you know, you're still serving in the military. Now, God forbid something happens in Washington and these guys come running down the street to, you know, to fight the opposition with, you know, mandolins and banjos and that might be enough to scare them back.
Well, if they gotta send the band in, man, we're in trouble.
That's right. See if you can scare them with bluegrass. See if they leave after they hear that. This has been great. I love the album. I can't wait to hear the new one. I will make sure that I find you in those couple of days up in Gray Fox and get to meet you up front. And I'll stop by Leah's booth and see what's going on there. That'll be exciting. If the way you describe it, that'll just be a nice little added treat for the fans up at Gray Fox.
Yeah, jamming there at her booth, you know, people can peruse her jewelry and we can pick some tunes and, you know, I'm not saying we're going to be there 24/7, but, we'll definitely, maybe we'll even write up a little schedule or something, so we'll figure that out.
Okay. Listen, and there's a website that people can follow what you're doing now with the band Dirty Kitchen as far as your touring and whatnot, right?
Yeah, it's you can either go to Frank Sullivan and DirtyKitchen.com or DirtyKitchenBand.com will work.
Okay.
Everybody can find us on Facebook or Twitter and all those things as well, social media. But, you know what? Thank you so much for letting me babble a little bit there, Steve.
Hey, listen, that's what we do. We babble here. I tell people I don't interview people. I just chat, and then people get to listen in. So I enjoyed it. Thanks for I know it's hard on a Saturday afternoon to be available, and, man, I appreciate it so much.
Oh, me too. I appreciate it. All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
I will see you up at Gray Fox. I guarantee it I'll find you, all right?
See you there.
Thanks, man. Bye. There was Frank Sullivan. Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen. You gotta like that the sound that they have. And I do play songs from it regularly, on the edge is just, I don't think that he means to say that he's trying to, I had this discussion with Sam Bush. This is why it comes up as I'm thinking of talking to Frank. Sam will be on the show next Saturday with Tony Trischka. And, you know, Sam was never trying to rewrite the form of music that we all know as bluegrass. He was just doing what he wanted to do and wanted to do it as good as he could. And then it gets labeled as Newgrass, and he's okay with that. You know, he's the father of Newgrass, as recognized by the home state that I live in, his home state, Kentucky. So what Frank is saying is, you know, he's doing stuff that's fun. It's new stuff that he can play and kind of stretch out a little bit on. But, boy, it's dead center in that blue. You're not going to mistake it for anything else but a bluegrass band playing hot music with great. Can you imagine John Cowan singing on this record and with Sam Bush and all the people that he's mentioned already? And we will definitely find that for you. It'll come out after he appears at Grey Fox at the end of July. And I'm sure they'll be playing some of those tunes up there. As a matter of fact, here's a thought. If you're listening to this program, Unreal Bluegrass, for the weekend of Grey Fox, when the concerts begin from the main stage, you'll hear that. If Frank Sullivan and Dirty Kitchen is there, you'll hear it streaming. So there's a thought. We will we'll let you know when that happens. But great. Thanks so much, Frank Sullivan. I've admired his music for so long, and we tried to get together a while ago, and I kind of dropped or didn't follow back up or something, but Frank was always willing to participate. Thanks so much, Frank Sullivan.